Okay, so before I get started this morning, the Lord, as I was preparing this lesson writing it all down and everything, he kept reminding me that the most important thing, and he wanted me to say this in the beginning, is that he wants us to get, is that the Holy Spirit is not here to condemn us. He never condemns. He only convicts. And his heart is to be a help to us, not to make us feel guilty. So if through everything here, I want you to understand that, that's what God really wants us to grasp hold of, that there's no guilt and no condemnation. And the only time you hear that is from the enemy, from the lies that you've believed over time. Those things need to move out of the way, and you need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, because he only speaks words of love, and he will go to your heart and he will expose things that are not good, but he does this in his loving way, he's not angry. He's not bitter towards us. He only has love towards us. So we're now at the end of our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we've hopefully come to understand more about what the Lord desires to produce in us that will enable us to grow closer to him, respond like him, and through his fruit in our lives display who Jesus is to draw others to ourselves or to himself. As the church, we are his ambassadors. And we represent him to the world. When we love unconditionally, choose to be filled with joy, have the peace that passes understanding, patiently endure various trials, respond with kindness in all situations, act with goodness by serving our neighbor, are a faithful doer of the word, and with gentleness, show compassion to others, we have reflected the overall character of God. There is one last fruit, however, that the Word of God has placed at the end of this most famous list. Without it, the list is incomplete. It is the fruit of self-control. Self-control is listed last not because it is least important. It is because it is a part of all the other fruit of the Spirit. It is self-control that allows us to show unconditional love instead of a momentary feeling that doesn't last when things become difficult. Self-control helps us choose joy when we are facing suffering or trials. Self-control gives us the ability to get along with others and be peacemakers rather than giving way to strife. Self-control is part of the process of patience and guides us when we need to endure trials or be patient with someone. Self-control is linked to kindness. It helps us to not just think of ourselves, but to look out for others as well. It takes self-control to do good, to choose to help our neighbor, even if it means we may need to give something up for them. Self-control is needed when we are being faithful, so we don't give in and compromise our beliefs. It takes self-control to be gentle and show compassion and mercy in this harsh and uncaring world. Self-control is vital for all the other fruit to grow in our lives. The dictionary defines self-control as the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior. especially in difficult situations. Another definition is that it is the ability to manage your actions, feelings, and emotions. So let's look at some of the words that mean the same or are similar to self-control. These words are self-discipline, self-restraint, strength of will, control, self-mastery, restraint, self-government, composure, willpower, and moderation. These are impressive, powerful words. Truly, the contrast between lack of control and self-control is dramatic. What does the Bible say about the last days when restraint gives way to the flesh, to the impulses of the flesh? Turn in your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, or you can look up here. Where's Gary? You got it? Okay. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There's a lot of evil in the world, but the Holy Spirit wants to help us to overcome that. This is one of the reasons why we need self-control. According to worldly thought, the benefits of self-control are that it can enhance your decision-making capacity. It can help you moderate your anger. It also plays a major role in your emotional happiness in marriages and relationships. It can bring stability and solve trust issues. But self-control, according to the Bible, runs deeper than our own ability to be self-disciplined and control our outward actions. Self-control for a Christian involves allowing the Holy Spirit to be present in our lives so he can give us what we need to have a pure heart and make good choices that honor him. As Christians, we are desiring to be holy and righteous because we are new creatures, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. We're no longer slaves to sin. It is not our master. Therefore, we desire to not sin. However, we still live in our fleshly bodies, so we need to battle with the impulses and emotions that come from this state of being. Our help is the fruit of self-control. It comes from the Holy Spirit, gives us the strength we need, and empowers us to say no to sin. We need to ask for this wonderful, most helpful fruit. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." So as that verse says to me that self-control is more powerful than and more important and vital than powerful men or governments or things like that. When we have self-control in us, it is a powerful force. When combined with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, self-control is like a 1-2 punch to our flesh and the devil's temptations. So hear that again. when combined with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, self-control is like a 1-2 punch to our flesh and the devil's temptations. So the Holy Spirit uses conviction in combination with self-control to help us. Don't shy away from conviction. It's our best friend when dealing with temptation. Be grateful for it. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is not condemnation. Conviction is born out of love for us. The conviction of the Holy Spirit exposes the sin in our lives that is usually hiding behind deceit and denial. Once it's exposed, we can ask for forgiveness from the Lord and then take a hold of the strength of self-control that God gives us, which will allow us to say no to sin, no to things that are not best for us, and say yes to God's wisdom instead. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted," so you will be tempted, "He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." This verse, when I was in college, was like plastered everywhere in my dorm room, because I needed that. I needed his help with that, and it just encouraged me so much. With the fruit of self-control, we will be looking to Jesus and honoring him, not ourselves. Our motivation will be to bring him glory with a pure heart. So what that's really saying is that that if we muster up our own self-control and the ability to be disciplined and all that, what is our motivation for that? We need to understand that that the Holy Spirit bringing self-control to us will bring honor to Jesus. When we try and do it ourselves, then we're honoring ourselves. So there's kind of a fine line there. Ultimately, self-control is about being controlled by Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For the love of Christ controls and compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." So our purpose in our lives is not for ourselves. It's for Jesus, because he died for us. And we, with the love of the Holy Spirit, when we were singing, when we were worshiping, I just felt, I am so in love with the Lord. I want to obey him. I want to do the things that he calls me to. I want to give up my own desires for him, because he's worthy of that. And he's amazing. And he gives me everything I need. It's just, why? What else would I do? That's the feeling I got when we were singing. So we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Jesus. In fact, Jesus is our example of being self-controlled. Since Jesus was fully human, he was tempted as we are, but he exercised self-control, and he never sinned. There were many times when he held his tongue. For example, if it were me, I would have been saying something I shouldn't say, probably. For instance, when the crowd wanted to stone the adulterous woman, and he didn't speak until they quieted down and waited to listen to him. It would take a lot of self-control when they're dragging this woman and want to stone her, and Jesus knows the truth about their own hearts. And he didn't say anything until they were ready to hear him. So he exercised self-control in that. And rather than yelling at them, telling them off, he calmly spoke when they were ready to listen. And what he said silenced them all and exposed their sin. So self-control allows us to use wisdom rather than emotion to correct wrongs. Again, it's our help. It helps us. When you think of God, do you think of his amazing self-control? Think about that just for a minute. Self-control is the only fruit that is not considered part of his nature. He doesn't need it because he doesn't have sin in him. It has to do with the human condition and our need for it. He doesn't need to control himself from temptations, but we do. He does show restraint, however, in that he is slow to anger and is full of mercy and grace towards us, wanting none to be left out of his kingdom, and waits patiently for us. A holy life demonstrates God's supernatural power at work, overcoming what is natural behavior for human beings. In order to be pure in heart, speech, and behavior, we need self-control, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit within us. In order for us to grow in self-control, we need to allow the Holy Spirit continuous access to our minds and hearts. Now I'm going to do a little object lesson for you to kind of visually let you see what that means. So first of all, when we become Christians, we are clean. We have Jesus living in us, the Holy Spirit living in us, and he has made us righteous and pure before God. However, sin enters our lives and can kind of mess up that purity, and it brings darkness to our lives. Can everybody see this? So when we sin, when we don't forgive people, when we get back at people for hurting us, that's what happens. But when we pray and we go before the Holy Spirit, and we ask him to help us, and we spend time with him reading the word, and we spend time praying, and we ask him to help us, and we worship him, and we say, okay, I'm going to forgive this person. I'm going to walk in forgiveness, and I'm going to think about you, Holy Spirit. I'm gonna give you full access all the time in my life. And when we do that, and when we're praying and fasting for things that are difficult for us, or we're reading the Word every day. I know this is gonna take a minute. I am. Lately, reading a lot about Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know how many of you know who he is. He was a British pastor, and he, every morning when he got up, he did four things. First, he got up and he worshiped the Lord, and he was so excited that he got to live that day with the Holy Spirit. And then he would have, communion every day, every morning. And then he would read his Bible and spend time with him, with the Lord. And he did this. He actually spent at least 20 minutes, or every, like half an hour, he would spend 20 minutes with the Lord all day. So he would go for 20 minutes, 30 minutes without, and then 20, 30 minutes with. So he was constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that man was able to do and walk in a way that was incredible. So I suggest you read about him and find out what his life was like. So when we are being filled with the Holy Spirit continuously, we get purified and the darkness goes away. I hope you saw that and understood what that's what it takes, really. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes in chapter 5, verse 18, "And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's warning about evil days and to not be foolish, but to understand what the will of God is. It's difficult to do that when drunk, first of all. But also, when he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, it is written in the present tense in the Greek. This means it's not a one-time event, but we are to be filled continually. If we are continually filled with the Holy Spirit, he will be more than able to give us the fruit of self-control, because really, when we do this, we are being spirit-controlled. When we are spirit-controlled, we have his power to live not only our daily lives, but to bring his presence with us wherever we go, on the bus, to work, just at home, with friends, to the mall, wherever you go, the presence of the Holy Spirit goes with you. And when we are continually being saturated by the Holy Spirit, then our thoughts and our mind, our everything, we're hearing him, we're not hearing the enemy, we have a barrier around us that protects us. We will truly be his ambassadors, and we're able to impact others with his powerful healing love. And that's really what we've been called to do. So I hope this understanding of the Holy Spirit and what he means in our lives will help you in the area of self-control. It's not something to go, self-control. You know, it's not difficult. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And he loves us so much. So let's pray.